from Canto 9, Chapter 8, entitled The Son of Sagar Meets Lord Kapildev. Text 24. Prashant Maya Gunakarma Lingam Anam Rupam Sadasad Vimuktam Jnanopadeshaya Grahita Deham Namamahe Tvam Purusham Puranam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O completely peaceful Lord, although material nature, fruitive activities and their consequent material names and forms are your creation, you are unaffected by them. Therefore, your transcendental name is different from material names and your form is different from material forms. You assume a form resembling a material body just to give us instructions like those of Bhagavad Gita, but actually you are the supreme original person. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Srila Yamunacharya has recited this verse in his Stotra Ratna. Bhavantameva anucharan nirantaraha prashant nihishesh manorathantaraha kadahamekantika nitya kinkaraha prishayami sanatha jivitam. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? Manorathen asati dhavato bahi. One who acts on the mental platform must descend to material activities. Material contamination, however, is completely absent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is pure devotee. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Prashant, completely peaceful, free from the disturbances of material existence. The Supreme Lord has no material name or form. Only the foolish think that the Lord's name and form are material. Avjananti mamuda manushim tanumashritam. The identity of the Supreme Lord is that He is the original person. Nonetheless, those who have but a poor fund of knowledge think that the Lord is formless. The Lord is formless in the material sense, but He has His transcendental form, Satchidananda Vigraha. Hare Krishna. So I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu. They are like my spiritual masters. So, and I feel embarrassed and nervous to speak in front of them. But I hope by their blessings I am able to say something meaningful and purify myself. I read the translation again. Oh, complete. So, Srila Prabhupada starts the purport. He takes the word Prashanta from the first word of the shloka. And he begins the purport with this beautiful shloka written by Alabandar Yamunacharya. Bhavantameva anucharan nirantaraha prashant nihishesh manorathantaraha kadahamekantika nitya kinkaraha prahishayami sanath jivitam. So this is a very beautiful shloka written by Yamunacharya. So I thought we'll just little bit about Yamunacharya. I recently was reading one story from a book about Yamunacharya, that how actually he became a great devotee. And I was remembering how we heard from Gaurang Prabhu long back, 8-10 years back in IIT Bombay, about Yamunacharya and in the life of Shibad Ramanujacharya. So I was recalling that. So it says that Yamunacharya was born to he was actually the grandson of one great devotee, Nath Muni. So shortly after his birth, Yamunacharya's father, he left his body. And even Nath Muni, he also left home and went to perform his tapasya austerities. He was a great mystic yogi. So Yamuna, his grandfather had given him the name in remembrance of the to honor river Yamuna in Vrindavan. So that's how he got his name, Yamuna. So Natha Muni, after he left, he was brought up by his widow mother and his elderly grandmother. Yamunacharya, he actually was a very brilliant student and he studied in the school of Bhasyacharya. And from the beginning, he showed his great scholarship. And even at the age of 12, he is able to give great explanation of the scriptures. So one day what happened, that while he was at the school, one person came and said, "Where is Bhasyacharya?" He asked in a very rude tone. Yamuna, in a very gentle way, said, "What do you want? Who are you?" So he said, "Don't you know that I am the disciple of the great Kolahal, even to whom even the king is a subservient? And your master has been defeated by Kolahal, and I have come to collect a tax." So it was the king had made a rule that whoever is defeated by Kolahal in a debate, they have to pay yearly tax. So Bhasyacharya, being very poor, he was not able to pay tax for the last 2 years. So this disciple of Kolahal had come, and he said, he says that, "Is your master not fear of the death? The king would actually give him death punishment who doesn't pay the tax." So when this disciple comes, although Yamunacharya is very gentle, he felt hurt. And he said, "Foolish is your master who teaches you to be so proud. And a master should teach a disciple to become humble." Said, "You go and tell your master that the lowest disciple of Bhasyacharya, Yamuna, he challenges him to a debate." So the disciple is taken aback immediately. He goes back and he tells, and the Kolahal starts laughing. When the king hears, he thinks that probably there's some insane person. So he sent another messenger to check out whether the boy is insane or is really serious about the debate. So when the messenger comes, then Yamunacharya said, "Yes, I wish to debate." And then he said, "Come with me, the king has called you." He said, "If the king considers me to be a befitting opponent, then he should send a palanquin. I should be going in a royal way. The king should arrange that." So when the messenger gives a message, the king said, "Yes, if we consider an opponent, then he sent 100 soldiers and a nicely decorated palanquin to bring Yamuna to the court." So when Yamuna comes to the court, and besides, the king and the queen, everybody is discussing that, "Who is this boy who has challenged such a great scholar?" So the king and the queen are also discussing. The queen says, the king says, "Just as a cat plays with the mice, and just for some time and then kills, similarly the Kolahal will completely vanquish this small boy, Yamuna." But the queen says, "Just as a big bundle of cloth is burnt by a small spark, so will this boy destroy the great pride of your Kolahal." The king says, "Are you really serious? If you are really serious, put a wager." The queen says, "If the boy is defeated, then I'll become a maid servant of your servant." The king says, "That's a mighty wager and I will also match it." He says, "If this boy wins, then I'll give half of my kingdom to this boy." So anyway, when Yamuna arrives, the Kolahal, he looks at Yamunacharya, and then he looks toward the queen, and the Kolahal says, "Ala Bandar," meaning that the conqueror, will this small boy conquer me? The king looks, the queen looks, and she says, "Yes, Ala Bandar, this boy will indeed conquer you." In this way, the Kolahal starts asking questions to Yamuna, and he asks some simple grammatical questions to which Yamuna easily gives the reply. Then he asks some more difficult question to which Yamuna easily replies. Then Yamuna says, "You are actually considering me a small boy and asking such simple question. If you think that a person's scholarship or his learning is to be judged by the size, then a water buffalo is a mightier scholar than even you." So the Kolahal feels hurt. He said, "Okay, now you may ask me questions." Then Yamuna says that, "If I will put 3 propositions, if you can refute them, then I will accept defeat." Said, "Okay, please ask, please say what you want to say." Then first proposition Yamuna puts is that, "Your mother is not a barren woman." Now you refute this if you can. So the kolahal, he starts to think, how can I refute this? I am the son of my mother, and my mother is not a barren woman. So he remains completely silent. Okay, if you cannot refute this, I'll put my second proposition. He says, our king, the great Pandya king, he's the most righteous person. And now Kolhal thinks, if I refute this, I'll be punished to death by the king himself. Now how can I say he's not righteous? So he starts, his color of his face starts fading, and he shows signs of nervousness. Then okay, now I'll put the third proposition, that our queen is the most chaste lady, like Savitri. Now refute this. Said it will be offense to the queen if I dare to refute this. So immediately he becomes very angry. He said, you rascal, you should be punished to death. How can a subject offend a king and a queen in front of them? Said, you refute our proposition, otherwise you will put to death. And then immediately a debate begins. And all the people, those who were saying, no, actually now he's becoming angry. Actually he has been defeated now. And there were other disciples of Kolahal. They were saying, no, this boy should be put to death. So there is a big uproar in the court. Yamuna, he says, there is no point in debating nothing. Please, all of you hear as I refute all my propositions. So everyone becomes silent, that how he will be able to refute without offending the king and the queen. So Yamuna begins. He says, according to the law of Manu Samhita, if a woman has only one child, even though he may be a great scholar as yourself, he says to Kolahal, then she must be considered as a barren woman. Thus he refutes his own first proposition. Then he says, the king is supposed to get 1/6, according to the law of Manu Samhita again, 1/6 of the merits of the religious acts of a citizen, but he incurs 1/6 of their sinful reactions also. And since, because in Kali Yuga, the people are committing more sinful activities, so the king has a burden of unrighteousness, although he is most righteous in his own character. So thus he refutes his second proposition. And he says that, now since the king is a representative of Agni, Vayu, Indra, Chandra, so all these 8 principal demigods, so the queen is actually also, he's a representative, so he's also actually in one sense married to them also. So she cannot be considered as a chaste lady as Savitri, although she's chaste in his own personal character to the king. So in this way, when they all hear the courtiers, there's a big uproar, the glorifying Yamunacharya, and the queen loudly says, Alabandar, Alabandar, that means the great conqueror, right? So in this way, Yamunacharya, later he gets the name Acharya when actually he manifests devotional service. So in this way, Yamunacharya, he conquers over the pride, and he rules over the kingdom for quite long time. And Nathamuni arranges by his one disciple, Ram Mishra, he arranges that Yamuna to be brought back to devotional service. And Yamunacharya, he writes this verse is from Stotra Ratan, which is written by Yamunacharya to rescue Ramanujacharya from the grips of Yadav Prakash. Yamunacharya once sees that the effulgence of Ramanujacharya, and he's very impressed, but he sees that he's with this Mayavadi person, Yadav Prakash, who is pained at heart. So he prays to the Lord. So this prayer, Stotra Ratan, are prayer of Yamunacharya to the Lord to rescue Ramanujacharya from the grips of this Mayavadi person, Yadav Prakash. A very beautiful prayer. This is one of the prayers. Bhavante meva anucharan nirantaraha prashant nihishesh manorathantaraha kadaham ekantik nitya kinkaraha parishyami sanath jivitam. Prabhupada is quoting this word. He's taking the word prashant from this verse, and he's quoting the prashant, that how can one becomes completely peaceful, and the Lord is completely peaceful being freed from all material contamination. So Anshuman is offering all these prayers to Lord Kapil Dev. These are only the six verses, six prayers, very short prayers. And he's actually telling the Lord that actually no one can understand your glories and your true position. So even few verses back, he said even Lord Brahma he is also unable to understand your true position. So what to speak of my uncles? Right? So in this context, he's building up the case for his uncles. So I think, what to talk of my uncle, even when Lord Brahma cannot understand. When Lord Brahma says, Janante va janantu, kim bhuktyana me prabhu. He says that, Dodu said, that I know about Krishna, Jananta, mai janta hu, Bhagwan ke bare. People say something, ha, mai janta hu, sab. He says, Janante va janantu. Dodu says, mai janta hu, unko janne dije. But I have to say that I don't know anything about the Lord. With my body, with my mind, I cannot understand. Manasa vapaso vacho vaibhavam tab gochara. So I cannot understand some of the Lord. So here he's saying, if the Lord Brahma cannot understand, then how will my uncles be able to understand your true position? So please forgive them, that kind of. Or in this word, he say, in this particular verse, he's saying that jnanopadeshaya grahita chetam, that you assume a form like that of human beings to instruct us in the transcendental knowledge. So because you assume a form like that of human beings, so it is natural that people will misunderstand you. Like Lord Krishna also says, Avajananti Mahamud, and Prabhupada quotes that. So, and then he says that Jnanopadeshaya, that you come and give instruction, incarnate to give instruction. So then that means he's actually here requesting Lord Kapiladeva that you now instruct me that how I actually can deliver my forefathers. And we see after, just shortly after this, Lord Kapiladeva will instruct Anshuman. So the point here is that how, why is it that Lord Krishna, he appears in a human-like form and people misunderstand him. If he appears in a form, extraordinary form with 10 hands, with raised weapons, like Lord Narsingdev, then people will not misunderstand him. Rather, people will not dare to misunderstand him. Because he is appearing in such ferocious form. But the Lord appears in his two-handed form because he actually wants to drown his devotees in the ocean of bliss, to have loving reciprocations. He says, Iti driksoli labhirananda kunde. To meet this end, Krishna takes the human-like form. If he appears in a form like Narsingdev, then Shridama will not climb on his back and jump and ask for a ride. Or Mother Yashoda will not bind Lord. So, Lord Krishna appears in 200 form to show or to reciprocate the loving devotional sentiments of his devotees. So here Anshuman, is pointing out that the Lord appears to give instruction, Jnana Upadeshaya. Actually, the Lord appears to fulfill many purposes to his incarnations. He kills the demons, he shows the path of religion, and so many purposes the Lord fulfills. But one incarnation of the Lord is very special. Anyone would like to guess which incarnation of the Lord is very... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, if we talk in the context, then we may answer Kapil Dev, right, in this context. But actually, Mahaprabhu's incarnation is very special, because I will recite a verse that Prabodhananda Saraswati writes one verse. He says, what benefit did the world attain when Lord Ram, Lord Narsimhadev and other incarnations killed the demons? How important is that Lord Kapila and other incarnations reveal the path of Sankhya and Yoga? How important it is that Lord Brahma and other Guna Avataras create, maintain and destroy the material universes? How auspicious is it that Lord Varahadev lifted the earth from the Garbhodak ocean? So the most important thing is that Lord Chaitanya has revealed the great splendor of pure love for Krishna. And he writes one verse in Avishkartum Bhakti Yoga Padvim Nevanne Asidrasa. He said that the Lord Chaitanya has revealed this sweetness of pure devotional service. Avishkartum Bhakti Yoga Padvim Nevanne Asidrasa. He said, that is the only sweetness, there is no other rasa besides this. Nevanne Asidrasa. Not even saying Nanya Asidrasa. Nevanne, Nev means certainly. So there is certainly no other rasa besides this, besides the path of devotional service which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown. So the speciality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he has come to teach Gyanopadeshaya, but he is teaching by practicing or by demonstrating himself. Right? So Mahaprabhu actually says that apane karimu bhakta bhava angikare apane achari bhakti sikhaimu sabare. He says, I will accept the sentiment of a devotee. Apane karimu bhakta bhava angikare apane achari, and my own demonstration, by own acting, apane achari bhakti sikhaimu sabare. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is the object of devotional service and he is the storehouse of devotional service, but he has himself come to teach the path of pure devotional service. So this is something very special. Just like, suppose some author has come to teach his own book, then many people actually would like to interest, or some great singer who has composed, or people hear about him, and he has come to perform. Just like, so then many people become interested, they come, there is something special about it. Just like Vidya Bhushan had come here to perform, and then many of the Govinda staff, Vasudev Prabhu, Radhadev Prabhu, they were sitting in the front here to hear. There is something special about it. Otherwise, which is not very usual. But when the person himself comes to demonstrate, to perform, the people actually are attracted and there is special feeling about it. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come to demonstrate. Mahaprabhu comes to give what is unknown in the Vedic literature, and even which Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva doesn't get a drop of it. He said then, E Gupta Bhava Sindhu Brahmana Pai Eka Bindu, says that this devotional service which Mahaprabhu has come to give, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they don't obtain a drop of it. So this devotional service is practiced by the resident of Vrindavan. Ramya Kajit Upasana Vrajabadhu Vargena Vakalpita. So the speciality of Mahaprabhu is that he has come to give the highest form of devotional service to the lowest, and is teaching by his own example. Apane kari ashvadane shikha ila bhakta gane prema chinta manira prabhu dhani. So apane kari ashvadane shikha ila bhakta gane. So he is teaching, he said that gyan upadesha, he is instructing by first relishing it himself. So therefore, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati says in another verse, dharma sprishta satata param avishta evatya dharme drishtim prapto nahi khalu satam srishtu kvapi no san yaddatta shri hari rasa sudha swadamatta pranatate uchair gayate athviluthiti stomitam kanchi disham. So he says, dharma sprishta satata param. Says those who have never been touched by piety, dharma asprishta satata param avishta evatti dharme, and those who are completely param avishta, absorbed in irreligion, drishtim prapto nahi khalu satam. He says those who have never received the merciful glance of a devotee, drishtim prapto nahi khalu satam sishtu kopi nasan, and those who have never visited any holy place purified by the devotees, yaddatta ashi hari rasa sudha swada matta pranatate. He says, sir, what about them? Are they to be condemned, to be sent to the darkest region of the hell? So no, he says, when they will taste the nectar of the mellows of transcendental mellows of love of God given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what will they do? Matta pranatate, they will madly dance, uchair gayate, loudly sing, asaviluthati, they will roll on the ground. Stamitam kanchi disham. Therefore, I worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, let us all glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it said that, so whoever actually is touched by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he undergoes a great transformation, as is pointed out, that those have never been, there are no pious credit, have received no favor from the devotee, still they will show all these ecstatic symptoms. So we'll just discuss briefly few pastimes from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about those who were touched by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What kind of transformation takes place in those who are touched by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So when after visiting Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling towards Prayag, and on the way the devotees feel fatigue and Mahaprabhu sits below a tree, and suddenly he hears the sound of flute. Achambite ek gop vamshi bajaila suni Mahaprabhu ra mahaprema vesh haila. Suddenly one cowherd boy played upon a flute, and Mahaprabhu immediately became very ecstatic. He immediately got up and started dancing, and then he fainted to the ground. In the meantime, some Pathan soldiers came and they saw that this sannyasi is lying on the ground, and there are four of his associates. There are four associates who were traveling with Mahaprabhu from Vrindavan to, while he was coming back, returning back. There was Balabhadra Bhattacharya and his Brahmana assistant, and there was Krishnadas, he was a Rajput, and there was Sanodiya Brahmana. So these four devotees were traveling. So when the Pathan soldier sees these four people, they think that they have actually given this sannyasi, Dhatura, and killed him, and they have not taken away all his wealth. So these Pathan soldiers come and they arrest all these four devotees. The Balabhadra Bhattacharya, both the Gaudiya devotees, they start trembling in fear. However, the Brahmana and the Rajput, they were fearless. So the Brahmana says, he said, I have 100 people in the service of the king. So he said, let's go to your king and talk. No, you are just binding us. Let's go to your commander and take the decision. And still they don't release him, release them. And they said, no, you are all rogues and thieves and you have killed this sannyasi. And then the Krishnadas, he speaks, he says that my village is very nearby and I have 200 Turkish soldiers and they have 100 cannons. If I call loudly, they will immediately come and plunder and kill you. And then they become little hesitant. In the meantime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gets up and he, again, in his great ecstasy, he starts dancing and loudly chanting the name of the Lord. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he goes and calms the... In the meantime, they free the four of them. Balabhadra Bhattacharya goes and pacifies the Lord. And when the Lord sees these Pathan soldiers, he comes to his external senses. And then the soldiers come and they pay obeisances. And they say, these four are rogues and they try to kill you by giving you poison. Mahaprabhu says, no, they are my associates and they are traveling with me. And among them, there was one saintly Muslim dressed in black gown. And he is actually very impressed by Mahaprabhu, and he wants to talk to, and in his talks, he wants to establish the superiority of the impersonal Brahman. So he begins conversing with Mahaprabhu. So he puts his proposition from Quran that how that the supreme absolute truth is impersonal. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refutes it all. And then Mahaprabhu says that even your, on the basis of Quran, Mahaprabhu says that even your Quran establishes the supremacy of the personal form of the Lord. And he says, because your scholars, they are not very, very well versed. So they cannot understand that. He says, Tomara Pandit Sabar Nahi Shastra Gyan Purva Paravidi Madhe Parabalavan. He says, your learned scholars, they are not very well versed. They don't know that between Purva and Par, that means what is said in the beginning and what is said in the last, Par Balavan, what is said in the last is Balavan, that is to be considered, that is more stronger. Tomara Shastra Kehe Sheshe Eik Ishwar Sarv Aishwarya Purna Teho Shyama Kalevar. So from their scripture, Maha says, Tumar Shastra Kehe Sheshe, in the end, Eke Ishwar, there is one Lord, Sarv Aishwarya Purna Teho Shyama Kalevar. He is full of all appearances and is blackish in complexion. So when he hears this, immediately he accepts. He said, yes, actually, the Quran says that. He said, I have seen many other scholars of the Malachi Shastra, but no one has been able to ascertain what is the Sadhya and the Sadhan. But now for hearing from you, I can immediately understand. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked them to chant the holy name of the Lord. And immediately all of them chanting the name of the Lord, they become ecstatic. And they manifest the symptom of ecstasy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he initiates this saintly Muslim. Ramadas Bali Prabhu Taran Nama Kaila Ar Ekabathana Taran Nama. Ramadas Bali Prabhu Taraka Ilanam Har Ek Bhatana Tara Nam Vijli Khan. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiates this saintly Muslim and he gives him the name Ramdas. And there was another Har Ek Bhatana Tara Nam Vijli Khan. There was another Pathan whose name was Vijli Khan. So he was a very young boy, and he was a prince, and all other Muslim soldiers were his servants. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Vijuli Khan also falls down at Mahaprabhu's feet, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu places his lotus feet on the head of Vijuli Khan. And then Vijuli Khan also, he manifests all the symptoms of ecstasy. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he shows mercy to these Pathan soldiers. And these Pathan soldiers, they all become renunciates. Tasabare kripa kari, prabhu ta chalila, sahi te Pathan sab vairagi haila. So all these Pathan, they become vairagis. Pathan Vaishnava bali haila ta rakhyati, sarvatra gaiya bule Mahaprabhu ra kirti. So he said the Pathan Vaishnava, they all become Pathan Vaishnava, they form a Sankirtan party. Pathan Sankirtan party. And they travel on horses. Sarvatra gaiya bule Mahaprabhu kirti. So in this way they travel on horses everywhere. And they sing and dance and they perform Sankirtan going everywhere. In this way they glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere. Pathan Sankirtan party. Then it's mentioned again that Sai Vijuli Khain Haila Mahabhagavat. So Vijuli Khan, he becomes a Mahabhagavat devotee of the Lord. Sarvatra Tirthe Haila Thara Parama Mahatva. At all the holy places, his reputation spreads. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows, and all these Pathan symptoms, they, on receiving the mercy of Mahaprabhu, they manifest all these symptoms. Although they were completely sinful, they manifest symptoms of Matta Pranatyate. They madly dance, Uchair Gayate, loudly sing and roll about on the ground. Not to talk of human beings, even the animals manifest all the symptoms. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through the Jharkhand forest, he would rise across the herds of ferocious animals, and Balbhadra Bhattacharya would be very fearful. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he passes, his foot touches one tiger. Ek din pathe vyagra kariya cheshayan, the tiger was resting. Aveshe tara gaya prabhura lagila charan. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Avesh, he is passing, Mahaprabhu's foot touches this vyagra, tiger. The tiger gets up and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him to chant Krishna Krishna. Prabhu kahe Krishna kaha vyagra uthila, Krishna Krishna kahi vyagra nachite lagila. So Mahaprabhu says, say Krishna, and immediately the tiger gets up, and saying Krishna Krishna, the tiger starts dancing. Another time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing, and a herd of maiden elephant, they come, and Mahaprabhu takes some water and splashes on the elephant and says, chant the name of Krishna. So immediately all the elephant, they start chanting the name of Krishna, start dancing. Keha bhume pade keha kare chitkar, dekhi bhattacharya mane haye chamatkar. So somebody rolls on the ground and somebody loudly cries out, chanting the name of the Lord. As you said, Matta Panatyate, Uchair Gayate, even the element we are saying, Athviluti rolls on the ground. It's mentioned here. Keha bhume pade keha kare chitkar. And seeing this Bhattacharya, he becomes very astonished. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes ahead. And while he's going, he's loudly chanting very sweetly the names of Krishna while he's going through the forest. Pathe aite kare prabhu uchya sankirtan, madhur kanta dhwani shune aishe mrigi gan. Mahaprabhu is loudly chanting, hearing his very sweet melodious voice, the does, they come and they join. They were walking behind Mahaprabhu. Hena kale vyagra tatha aila panjasat, vyagra mrigi mili chale Mahaprabhu rasat. So in the meantime, 5-7 tigers also come and they join behind the padyatra. Mahaprabhu is going, these does, they are walking, and the tigers, they are also walking side by side. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sees, he smiles, and he recites one beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yatra naisarga durvaira saha sannar mrgadaya mitrani eva jitavasa drutututa tarshanadikam. This verse says, that yatra nisarga durvaira saha asan nirmargadaya mitrani eva ajitavasa drutututa tarshanadikam. The transcendental abode of Vrindavan is freed from the hunger, thirst and anger. Here, the naturally inimical human beings and animals, they live together in transcendental friendship. Prabhupada translates like that, in complete harmony. Mitrani eva yatra naisarga durvaira. So saha asana means the same asana. This, they live together. So Mahaprabhu cites this beautiful verse, and then he asks them to chant Krishna. Krishna Krishna kaha kari prabhu yabebalila. Krishna kahi vyagra mriga nachite lagilya. So this time, the deer and the tiger, they start dancing together. Nache kude vyagra gana mrigi gana sange. Balabhadra bhatta chare dekhe purvarange. So they are nache kude, they are dancing and they are jumping together. And in this way, Balabhadra Chara is seeing this great miracle. Vyagra mriga anayone kare alingan. Mukhe mukhe diya kare anayone chumban. So they are dancing together, they are embracing and kissing each other, it's mentioned here. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he goes ahead, and then he makes the birds, the peacocks, the creepers, the trees, all of them to chant and the ecstatically dance in the love of Krishna. Matta pranitate uchair gayate. In this way, not just human beings but the animals, the unmoving, the trees, creepers, Mahaprabhu makes them madly dance, loudly sing and roll about on the ground. Lastly, we'll discuss another pastime of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's actually a great logician. And by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, his heart transforms. So one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brings some Jagannath Mahaprasadam to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is just getting up. So as he gets up, he chants Krishna Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he becomes very happy to hear that. So as he sees Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately comes and welcomes and gives him a seat. And Mahaprabhu places Jagannath Prasad in the hand of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he recites two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that the Mahaprasad should be immediately honored as soon as we receive. Shushkam parishatam vapi nitam vadur deshada pratam prapti matrin bhuktevam natra kal vicharana. So in saying this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he honors the Mahaprasad of the Lord. So now it's said that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had just gotten up, he had not brushed his teeth, he had not done his sandhya, he had not even bathed. Right? So throughout his life, this person had never eaten before doing all these three things. He would totally pakka. He would do this thing and then only do all his morning duties, sadhana, everything, and then only honor something. But this time, without brushing, just getting up, he honors Mahaprasad of the Lord. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he becomes so ecstatic. He recites, he says, Aji mui anayase jininu tribhuvan. Aji mui karinu vaikuntha arohan. He says, Mahaprabhu says, today I have conquered the three worlds. Just see what Mahaprabhu is saying. He said, today I have conquered the three worlds. Today I have ascended to the Vaikuntha. Aji mui karinu vaikuntha arohan. Aji mora purna haila sarva abhilash. Today all my desires have been fulfilled. Sarabha mera haila mahaprasade vishwasi. Because Sarabha Bhattacharya has gained mercy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that my coming here has been successful, that such a hard-hearted, dry logician, he has become so transformed that he has honored the mercy of Lord Jagannath. Aji Krishna Prapti Yogya Haila Tom Arman Veda Dharma Langi Kaile Prasad Bhakshan. Today you have given up the rules and regulation, Veda Dharma Langi Kaila Prasad, and you have accepted the mercy of Lord Jagannath. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his heart being transformed. Another incident, after the Ratha Yatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and they are bathing in the, all the devotees, bathing in the Indradyumna Sarovar. So all the devotees are playing water sports. Advaita Acharya is sporting with, there's a team of two they forms for water splashing. Advaita Acharya is sporting with Nityanand Prabhu. Murari Gupta is sporting with Vasudeva Datta. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is sporting with Ramananda Rai. So you see just that how this person, in his old age, who has been pakka scholar, very grave, very authoritative person, he is doing water sports. So it's mentioned here, सर्वभौम संग खेले रामानंद राय गंभीर्य गेला दोहार हैला शिशुप्राय. सर्वभौम संग खेले रामानंद राय, खेले मीन्स ही दे आर प्लेइंग टुगेदर वाटर स्पोर्ट्स. एंड गंभीर्य गेला दोहार हैला शिशुप्राय, दे बोथ गेव अप देयर ग्रेविटी एंड दे बिकेम लाइक चिल्ड्रन. महाप्रभु ता दोहार चांचल्य देखिया गोपीनाथ आचार्य किचु कहे न हसिया. वेन महाप्रभु सीज दैट हाउ दे आर बिहेविंग रेस्टलेस लाइक रेस्टलेस चिल्ड्रन, महाप्रभु सेज टू गोपीनाथ आचार्य स्लाइटली स्माइलिंग, पंडित गंभीर दोहे प्रमाणिक जन बाल चंचल्य करे खराहा वर्जन. ही सेज दे आर बोथ पंडित लर्नेड वेरी ग्रेव गंभीर दोहे प्रमाणिक जन वेरी अथॉरिटी पीपल. बाल चंचल्य करे हाउ आर दे आर बिहेविंग लाइक चिल्ड्रन, प्लीज स्टॉप दैम. महाप्रभु सिंह नो स्लाइटली स्माइलिंग प्लीज स्टॉप दैम. गोपीनाथ कहे तुम्हार कृपा महासिंधु. गोपीनाथ आचार्य रिप्लाई दिस इज माय लॉर्ड योर मर्सी इज लाइक अ ओशन उच्छलित करे याबे तार एक बिंदु. वेन अ ड्रॉप ऑफ फ्रॉम दैट ओशन राइजेस इट मेरु मंदार पर्वत डुबाए यथा तथा इट ड्राउन्स इवन द बिग माउंटेन्स लाइक मेरु एंड मंदार. यही दुई गंड शैला ही हर हकीकता. दीज टू आर लाइक स्मॉल हिल्स, वॉट टू टॉक ऑफ दैम. एंड देन ही सेज अनदर ब्यूटिफुल वर्स. शुष्क तर्क खली खाइते जन्म गेला यार तारे लीलामृत पियाओ ए कृपा तुमार. सो ही सेज शुष्क तर्क खली खाइते. सर्वम भट्टाचार्य हैज पास हिज लाइफ ईटिंग ड्राई ऑयल केक्स. शुष्क तर्क खली खाइते ड्राई ऑयल केक्स ऑफ लॉजिक. नाउ यू आर मेकिंग हिम ड्रिंक द नेक्टर ऑफ योर पास्ट टाइम्स. तारे लीलामृत पियाओ ए कृपा तुमार. सो दिस इज योर ग्रेट मर्सी. सो in this way we see that how the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transforms Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And we see similarly Indradyumna Maharaja narrated a story of Father Pier. He also throughout his life was eating some bread and soup. It's like Shushkatara Khali Khaite Janma Gela Yaar. He passes the whole life. But then toward the end, when he's touched by the mercy of Mahaprabhu in the form of the devotees association, the philosophy and the prasadam, he becomes actually mad. That touched by the mercy, great, great transformation takes place. We all heard the story from Indradyumna Swami Maharaj. Similarly, there is another story of Crazy Peter. Touched by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I heard the story from Gaurang Prabhu that Kushakrit Das, he was a Crazy Peter. Good for nothing. Nobody wanted him in the temple. He would just be sitting in one corner, only eating, sleeping, not doing any service. The temple presidents tells Prabhupada that we don't want him in the temple. Yeah, but Prabhupada says, no, let him stay for some time. He'll gradually be purified. So in this, the Crazy Peter, Prabhupada allows him to stay and in the association of devotees, and this Crazy Peter becomes Kushakrit Das, who has translated many, many Sanskrit books, including that of Prabodhananda Saraswati, which we just discussed, no? Matta Apanithyate. That verse is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Prabodhananda Saraswati, translated by Kushakrit Das. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, who carried the mercy of Mahaprabhu, transformed many, many such Crazy Peters into great Vaishnavas, who would then ecstatically or madly dance, loudly sing and roll about on the ground when they chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Thank you very much. ग्रंथराशिमद्भागतम की जय.